In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. To catch the attention of the young people, I'm going to start with the most gruesome parts of this. There was the sack of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70. The Lord passed, as you know, approximately 30 or 33 AD. So when he speaks about this generation will not pass away, he's speaking about the younger people, because 40 years hence Rome came. Now when Rome came, and he's speaking to them now about what is going to be their immediate future. See, as we read the Bible at all times, the Bible is a book of the past, the present, and the future. And so the focus now is on what he is saying to them, which is going to come to pass, but for us is quite ancient history. But during the sack of Jerusalem by Rome, horrific things took place that were not seen again until World War II. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't know this. But when St. Petersburg fell, or Leningrad, as you know, or was about to fall, things were so dire and starvation was so rife, that means so everywhere present, that people, when their children died, they sent their child to another family so that family could eat that child. So the people didn't have to eat their own children. This same thing happened during the sack of Jerusalem by the Romans. And that's when they're talking about these things in a very particular way. Such had never been seen before in the history of the world, was this. And well, of course, then, as I have just said, it was repeated. The Germans were not defeated by the Russians. It was the Russian winter that defeated the Germans. And no one stands against the Russian winter for too very long. But horrific things happened as the Nazis had encompassed the great city in Russia. Now, the abomination of desolation during the time of the Roman Emperor Titus, he erected a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. And, of course, there were Bacchanalian feasts. You know, Bacchus is the god of wine, the god of revelry in the pantheon of Greek or Roman mythology. And so they would have these horrendous displays of concupiscence. I'm trying to use words that are going to let you know just how bad things were without using a profane word. But these words don't match what occurred, because they didn't recognize the holiness. You know, on the real number line, you know, and you come to the big zero, and you go to the left side, and those are the numbers that are negative, and you go to the right side. See, they only went to zero. The Romans only went to zero. They did not know what they were doing with respect to God himself, or that which would fall upon them because of what they had done in God's house. So they knew the consequences as though all they had to deal with were the powers of flesh or the powers of authority on earth, but they did not know what they were going to have to face, which they did face. So the Lord is saying, when the Romans come and you hear that they are coming, whatever it is that you are doing, stop doing that. Don't think about anything else and get out of town. Because if you're on your housetop, don't say, hey, what's that big plume of smoke over on that hill? Maybe I'll go over there and look and see. Well, there you are. Now you're in the middle of the fire and the destruction, and you'll not be saved from that. So you run. And woe to people who have to run in the wintertime. People complain here about the cold of the church. Boy, oh boy. Hardy people they were indeed in times past. and now. Okay, I'll move on. But the fact of the matter is, woe to those who have children, you know, who are nursing. And by the way, nursing in ancient times would take place, you know, even after children, you know, had their first set of teeth. It didn't happen, and that's one of the ways in which they spaced children, was because the woman who is nursing is less fertile than one who is not. So there were things like this that were going on. You have small children, it's a problem for you. If you're pregnant, how do you run when you are full of child, right? So it's a very practical thing that the Lord is saying to those who hear him. Now, obviously it didn't apply to any of his disciples, but it applied to those also who heard. As you know, there were in all of the assemblies of the Lord old people, young people, and children. And so for the children, this definitely applied. And so he said these things. But what does it mean for us? You know, I've told you I am not motivated by any kind of preaching that has to do with end times, because I know my end is coming, and that's why I told you it's quite harsh to hear. I understand that, but you're all going to die, and the likelihood is you are all going to die before the end of the earth. You will probably die and be buried in the ground in the natural way that you have seen all of your elder relatives go into the earth, and it will happen to us and me before the rest of you. But the thing is that it's going to come, and I'm going to have to face all of the things. That means you as well will face all of the things. But it's not what, and by the way, when I'm driving on the freeway to get here in the morning, I listen sometimes to Christian radio. And There's this place in Corona, I don't remember the name of the church, but they're on the radio, and they're talking about what the sermon is going to be for next week, and they're talking about you know tribulation, and this is just, it's how they make their money. They try to scare the money out of your wallet. They try to tell you about these things that are really terrible, and that if you don't conform and conform quickly, you know, and then they start to read scripture from the Bible saying about the horrors of the things that are about to come to pass. Well, you know, all of those things are true, and there isn't anything that the Lord has said that will not come true and come exactly as he has said, but it comes sometimes in stages. Like, for example, how many of you have heard of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem? Well, that means if you've heard of that and you are sure, maybe you even saw one of the late Roman Catholic popes go to the Wailing Wall and pray in front of it, Pope John Paul II. I saw this on a news report. And people take little prayer requests and they stick it in the crevices between the rocks and the Wailing Wall. That's the one of the walls that surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Well, the Lord just said, and we just prayed, that there will not be one stone standing upon another. So now, how can it be that if the Lord said there will not be one stone standing upon another, that there is a stone standing upon another? Because these things come in stages. Because they because of what he has said, doesn't mean that the end is now. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and this will be an ongoing thing for as long as the earth has its life. Okay, I'm speaking to you directly. You, Miss Sweet 16. The old people that are around you are sometimes saying, I think we're in the last times. I think we're in the last days. They're all full of gas. Okay? It's not true. I my spiritual father said the same thing to me, I don't know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. I think we're in the last times. I don't think we're in the last times. But I know my last time is coming up fast. Do you understand the difference? Don't be gloomy. Don't think that because you have heard these things that, oh my God, why am I going to buy that pair of shoes? You know, I don't need a new pair of shoes. I'll just wear these old shoes until my feet come through the soles. No, buy a new pair of shoes. Get some perfume. Do some things that make you happy and make you content, because as long as the Lord has not expressly prohibited it, then do it and have fun doing it and rejoice and say, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, because you have made our life vibrant. You have made our life filled with all kinds of levels of happiness and joy. You've seen these little, you know, gerbils and things that you know, people buy as pets in pet stores, hamsters, and sometimes they have, you know, little rodents, or sometimes you might see a hedgehog, and, you know, you just see this little stuff. And you know what they feed those animals? Food balls. They buy little like kibble, like you give to a dog or a cat somehow, but it's meant for this one. Do you know how boring? I mean, the Jews were going crazy because they were eating manna from the wilderness that came down from heaven. And they said, we can't stand this manna stuff anymore. Get us out of the manna business. Right? Give us a banana. So give us anything, but give us some variation. When I was in the monastery, I ate fool for 23 days in a row. 22 days in a row. On the 23rd day, I got shorbet atz, lentil soup. And I was so happy. So happy not to have to eat another bite of monastery fool. So this Lord of ours has given us a creation when we have so much of a menu to choose from. So live the life that we were meant to live, and live it with joy and happiness, and most of all, thanksgiving to Him who provided it for us. Are the end times coming? Yes, the end times are coming. When are they coming? I don't know, but my guess is that everybody in this room, I don't see any really little kids. Well, you two, you probably got about, I don't know, 80 years left, maybe. But in 80 years, everybody in this room is basically gone. 80 more years. So when is the end coming? Well, for me, you know, maybe day after tomorrow. But 80 years for the young, right? Right? Think about it. So when we hear about this story today that the Lord is telling us, which is true, but which will come true in levels. In levels, you will see it come true. We are not to lose our satisfaction of the day. We do not lose the meaning of this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, which the liturgy confesses every time we pray. You understand? So what is the meaning then for us to recount this story? Well, it's the close of our year. And if we do not think about where we are going to go, about the destination that each of us has as a part of our individual creation, we're going to be sunk, as though all of these things, all of these horrible things which were made manifest, as I said, in AD 70, they will happen to us on a spiritual level or on even a material level. We will die in a horrible way. We are meant to look at the end of the year as a summation. and a reflection. What did we do in the last year? Did you learn one new thing? You know, I mean, sometimes when you get old, right, you think, oh, I can't learn anything. Really? You can't learn anything? Turn off the TV. Turn off the TV. Don't get on the phone, because you're just going to hear the same old stuff. How are you? I'm fine. How's the family? Family's good. How about this? How about that? How about same old stuff over and over endlessly. What meaning does it have? It has no meaning at all. If by the same token, your mind can't take in anything new. Well, if that's not the case, if your mind can take in something new, then what did you do regarding the church? Did you learn anything? Sometimes we make ourselves happy by we read stories about saints. Oh, this saint. You know what? At the end of the day, they all run together. There was a saint. He was a good kid, or she was a good kid. Pious parents. Then there was problems all around. The kid heard a good word in church. Kid acted on that word in church. Went out and did something saintly. The money that they had, they distributed amongst the poor. Faced persecutions. People were laughing at them right and left. But they persevered. One person decided, I don't even need clothes. So he just let his hair grow. Another person decided, you know what? I don't need food or clothes. I'll become a grass-eating monk. And by the way, in the Bastana Rabban, there's a chapter called The Grass-Eating Monk. I'm not making any of this stuff up, but it all runs together. The meaning is for you to find an example that you can focus on that somehow mirrors your own life and then start to move in that direction. But otherwise, these things just become something that we pour into a spiritual pot. Suppose I put all of your dinner, everything that you're going to eat today, in one pot, stirred it up, and then gave it to you to eat. Would you like that, Sam? Especially Sam? No, Sam would not like that at all. No way. You know, I might have some ice cream today, and that's not going to go very well with my pastrami, which I'm also considering eating. And I don't think that's going to go very well with my cottage cheese, because I like cottage cheese, okay? And I don't think it's going to go very well with the fruit that I'm going to eat. And you put all that stuff in one pot and you stir it up, you have nothing. The stories that we have in the church are to implement a life that is going to have some vibrancy, where the love that we have for Jesus Christ is the engine that propels us forward, and we gather ourselves together to emulate some excellence so that we may return like those that were given the talents and say, Lord, you have given me 3 talents. Behold, I return to you 6. And enter into the satisfaction of the Lord. You have been made ruler over great things because of your fidelity dealing with small things. Think about that. Being faithful. You know, the church is not trying to scare us to death. We read this again. How many false Christs do you think there are? I remember Ambantonius Marcos told me personally. He was in Kenya and he met this tribal leader, and he had, like 23 or 30 wives, or he had a harem. And, he had been preaching about this, you know, that in order to become Christian, you know, you have a wife. And the man thought that was ludicrous, what I'm going to do with the rest of them. And the tribal leader thought about it for a while. And he said, I identify with Jesus Christ. He said, you mean you want to be like Jesus? No, I am Jesus Christ. And he started to, everything that Jesus Christ did, because he had power within his own village, and the guys, he would do things. He would go, see, I changed that. Like Jesus Christ. It's a fascinating thing to think that anybody would follow such a charlatan. But people do that with, you know, the cult of Santeria. They do that with, remember the Tonton Macoute in Haiti, you know, with Papa Doc Duvalier. I mean, there are people that believe in, I know we always used to say voodoo, but it's voodoo. I laugh every time because I said that my whole life until the last 4 years. I found out I've been saying it the wrong way. It's Vadu, and it sounds like a lyric in a bebop song from the 50s. But the idea is that people will get some mystical hold on another through superstition and say, I'm going to do this if you don't do that. And through manipulation, it looks as though they actually have some power. And all that they did was they just preyed on the fears of the person who didn't want anything bad to happen to them or people that they loved or into some project that they had in mind that they wished to fulfill. But when they said, here is a Christ or there is a Christ, we have a really, really, really good test for who a Christ might be. A really good test. You know, may I see your hands? May I see your side? May I see your feet? We have a good test. Okay? And so the guy, okay, he says, I anticipated you asking that question, so I have wounds. I have wounds, okay? Okay, we're just getting started here. I got some water. What I'd really like to drink right now is some wine. What can you do about that? You know, here's a glass of water. I don't need a whole bucket full. Just a glass will be sufficient for me. And by the way, if you have the time, some ice. You know, I'm being facetious, but how is someone deceived? How is somebody led off? Well, ask yourself about the cults that you have heard of. How did somebody follow David Koresh and the Branch Davidians? How did that happen? How did somebody, follow Jim Jones? How did that happen? How did that happen? Well, it's because we don't pay enough attention to the Word of God itself. We don't keep it into a place of reserve where we, you know, I bet each one of you women here who runs a house, you have two sets of dishes. You got the dishes that you have for your family, and then when guests come over, you've got another set of dishes. Or maybe you have a set of silverware for your family and then a silver service for, well, we have in my house this. Okay? We have in my house, we have this. So we get Corel or we get paper plates, a lot of paper plates, a lot of plastic forks. Dinner is served. Right? And you don't need a glass, just drink it out of the bottle. Right? And so cleanup is fast. Everything goes into a bed, right? Well, think about the way in which we process knowledge in ourselves. Some knowledge should be kept so special. Some knowledge should be kept in such a state of preservation as to be pristine. To worry about the actual word that is said and where the word falls in the sentence when we describe something of Jesus Christ or the church. But we don't. It just goes into like this general knowledge bank. And then here it is. And everything else that I spew out that you listen to, you say, well, that's just what the priest said. Now I'm listening to what the guy on the radio says. Now I'm going to listen to what the guy on the TV says. Now I'm going to listen to what my neighbor says. Now I'm going to listen to what my... Really? It's all the same? If it's all the same, then you're doomed. You're doomed. You're like a person who has a whole bag full of money, but you can't tell the difference between the denominations. So you pull out a $100 bill to buy a candy bar with, and then turn it on your heel and walk out, happy that you got the candy bar, because all you had to do was pass the guy a piece of printed paper. No? That's how you have a Deepak Chopra, or you have Joseph Campbell and his mythology that all the guys, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and all those people bought into, where you get all of these fantastic stories. Darth Vader. You know what Darth stands for? It's a word in Dutch. It means dark. Who's Dark Father? Darth Vader. Dark Father. Now, who would the father? Oh, Luke Skywalker. Luke. I am your father. It's so silly. It's so silly. But how do these people gain? And we're talking billions of dollars based on Joseph Campbell? Joseph Campbell? Who is Joseph Campbell? You know, to me, the you know, I know Joseph Campbell in exactly the same way as I know guys who have written comic books. I'm aware of them. I'm aware of Antonio Brown. In case you don't know who Antonio Brown is, he was... I can't go into this now. I'm sorry, Lord. I have a place for the knowledge of God inside me. And in that place, it is encased in steel. And outside of the encasement of steel is an encasement of concrete. And it's in a bunker, like the type that they use to put nuclear missiles in. That if a missile landed on top of that bunker, it would not prevent our missile from still firing and going back at whoever shot at us. It's deep. It won't be moved for anything. So the Lord puts some things in certain types of descriptive mechanisms to teach us symbolically just how we should hold these things. He's saying, hold it so tight. Do you not know that people are going to be eating each other's children to prevent starvation? So when I tell you something, listen to it. Listen deeply to it, because it's going to come to pass. He said it over and over. The world will pass away, but not one of my words will pass away. You have to have a different place to keep the word of God. Because if you don't, and if it's like anything else, you're going to go to hell. And all of the abominations that were spoken of will be yours. If everything is just a big mishmash up here, that's going to be your future. The people that will keep the word of God. Pope Shenouda used to always say this. He would write, you know, Pope Shenouda was a graffiti guy. He would on the wall in the monastery, because I saw this personally. I said, who's writing on the wall? You know, like in my mind, what I was saying, I was being polite. I was saying, who's the idiot that wrote on the wall? Oh, Pope Shenouda. So I didn't say the word idiot. I just, who's writing on the wall? I said, what does that say? He says, the Lord sees. Rabbeinu Scheif. The Lord sees. Or he wrote another thing. You keep the word of God, and the word of God will keep you. Also, he said in a shorter way, you keep the Psalms will keep you. But keeping the word of God, you see, the Lord is not trying to scare us, but he is trying to say, we who are so many centuries apart from the horrific thing that took place in Jerusalem, the holy city, he's making it real. He's making it real. And you know how people talk about hell? They talk about hell in a way that they have no concept. That's when people will say, go to hell, to somebody. Go to hell. If they knew what hell was, they would never say it. They would never say it. It is the worst thing you can possibly say to another person. It's 100 million times worse than the F word. 100 million times worse to say to somebody, go to hell. Because if you realize what you are saying, it's the ultimate abandonment of your soul by God to the pains of your own passions and lusts. So the Lord does not need to make these things fictive by this incredible story of horror. He needs to make it impactful so that we may keep his word. And that's where we are committed to, in this church especially. So I say these things to you. Pray for me, and I will pray for you, and pray that that we will all be prepared for his coming, because he's coming to get you. He's coming to get you. That's what Jimi Hendrix said. I'm coming to get you. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, in the age of all ages. Amen.